So I want to welcome you today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're gathered on the occasion of the homegoing of one of God's trophies of grace, Ricardo Alvarez, who is now face to face with his Lord. The Word of God reads, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So the Heidelberg Catechism question 1 asks, "What is your only comfort in life and death?" To which it answers, "That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the powers of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, wherefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come, and we come today, Lord, because, Lord, you did take Ricardo home. And Lord, that means a lot of things, Lord, but we come in because you've been faithful, God, because your promise, Lord, that you would never leave him, that you would never forsake him, that he who began a good work in him would complete it to the end, that all the promises that we just read have their yes and amen in our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come today, Lord, and we come to give you thanks for the work that you did in Ricardo, that you saved him, and that you carried him, and that you brought him home safely. God, we thank you for eternal life that is promised to all who will put their trust in you by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work of grace, Lord, that you've done in our hearts. God, we pray that this afternoon would be a blessing to your people. We pray that we would be edified and built up. And we ask, God, that you would be pleased with the sacrifice of praise, Lord, that comes from our lips. And Lord, we remember Joy and Weston, and we ask, God, that you would be with them, that you would comfort them, that you would take care of them, that you would be a father to Weston, Lord, that you would watch over him, that you would lay claim to him, God, in all the days of his life, that by your grace he may follow after you, Lord, and know you and love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I could sooner count the stars, the number of all your ways, though I hold me now in part, are the seeds all praise, the sunlight fills the skies, your goodness fills my life, for all your precious gifts seem my
Amen. You may be seated. We sang that song at Joy and Ricardo's wedding. Ricardo Alvarez was born May 13th, 1957, in Havana, Cuba. Ricardo has two sisters, Anna and Eileen. His parents, Gabriel Alvarez Perez and Martha Villazon Alvarez, predeceased Ricardo. To say that Ricardo had a sad and a difficult childhood would be an understatement. Ricardo came to the United States under inauspicious circumstances in 1980. He'd been incarcerated in Cuba, and then he came to the States. And he lived a rough life. And frankly, and Ricardo would want me to say this, he lived a life of crime. And he ended up spending 24 years in prison in the United States. Ricardo came to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ while at Nevada State Prison. And I know for those of us who volunteered at Nevada State Prison, Ricardo was always a bright spot. His smile, his testimony of the Lord's grace was a constant encouragement to us. In fact, during one particular period of time the warden had closed down all in-house programs, and the Spanish-speaking church was closed down because it was an in-house program. And so the Hispanic inmates came and joined our Bible study, and we realized that many of them could not speak English. And so somebody, I can't remember who, we'll find out on the judgment day, suggested that Ricardo translate for me. I was preaching through the book of Hebrews, and let me just say that it was interesting. Some of the most strange times of preaching occurred with Ricardo as my translator. We did our best. One of the happiest days for Ricardo was when he was released in 2016. And the first thing that Steve Nugent did was bring him here to Grace Community Church. And when I saw him, it was tears of joy. And we hugged and hugged. And on his membership application, when he was asked, "What church were you most recently a member of?" Ricardo put, "Grace Community Prison Fellowship." I'm going to read to you from Ricardo's membership application, and I'm going to read it to you as he wrote it. He wrote these words, "I am hungry and thirsty, first to be transformed more and more to the image of Christ Jesus in all the areas of my life. That grace and faith on Christ Jesus alone has filled my heart, and know that I have been pardoned and forgiven and resurrected with Christ Jesus as a new creature and sealed with the Holy Spirit who teach me, rebuke me, transform at the image of Christ my Savior. I love very much the doctrine and teaching and the brotherly love that each member share with one another and have received me and embraced me as another brother, wash on the blood of our precious Savior, and hope and pray to be a blessing to others and to be faithful to God first and to love and respect each member of this community. Help me, God, united to his body." On August 18th in 2018, Ricardo married Joy. And after years in prison, found himself with a wife and a baby boy. The last few years for Ricardo, of course, were up and down as Ricardo grew in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell you today that God created a little family, if only for a while. Ricardo, as most of you know, was in the hospital for over a month. And for those of you who called and visited, thank you. For those of you who loved and supported Joy and Weston, thank you. On September 29, 2021, at age 64, Ricardo Alvarez closed his eyes in death and awoke in the presence of the one who loved him more than any of us could have ever loved him. Even now, he is in the presence of his Savior. No sin, no sorrow, no sickness. Simply joy unspeakable, full of glory.
I can see it in your eyes that you are restless.
so hard to let you go. But by His grace, I know you have to be where you were made to be. As you step out on the road, I'll say a prayer so that in my heart, His peace will be there.
We're going to sing The Good Shepherd. This is Ricardo's favorite song. And we sang this minutes before he passed. So.
Shepherd, I
I get the privilege today to read Psalm 103. And why Psalm 103? I looked up a text message that Ricardo sent me, and he said, and see if you can hear his words. Psalm 103 is a strong tower to my soul, brother. So when Cass and I visited Ricardo in the hospital, we would read Psalm 103. I took David and we read it to him. And every time we got to the east and the west section, he recited it by memory. So when we get to verse 12, you guys recite it by memory with me. Help me with this, okay? The other thing is, why Psalm 103? It's packed with good news. It's packed with gospel news. Listen for it. Listen for it. Take it into your soul and know the Savior that Ricardo knew. Psalm 103 of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And let's say this together. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, O mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
What God has willed, what God the travail of his soul in me. And with his work contented be, as I with my dear Savior.
Ricardo, you knew a unique individual. I don't think Cuba made very many more Ricardos. They had to throw out the mold with Ricardo. He loved his Savior.
Amen.
He was a man that was full of love for Christ. And love for us. I first met Ricardo in that housing facility there off of Fifth Street in Carson City. And a lot of you guys. And he was always game. He was always ready. Always showed his love for Christ. And when he was asked to be interpreter for that particular preacher guy, and you got this Cuban guy out there, right? And this guy's talking about penal substitutionary atonement. He's talking about superlaxarianism. And Ricardo just, you know, like, what am I supposed to do with this? But he was game. He was always game. He loved Christ so much. And when Ricardo left that housing facility, he came to live with Molly and I for 9 months. You really get to know somebody when you live with them for that long. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But I'll tell you, after living with Ricardo, I said then, and I'd say now, he was the nicest guy I knew. Really was a nice man. And the memories that we're going to have when we went back out to City of Refuge and asked Ricardo and Joy to come and live with us out there and serve out there. As you saw in many of those pictures, they were from City of Refuge, and Ricardo loved it there. He loved having his wife and child there and being able to minister in any way that he could. And he always wanted to help. And sometimes I didn't want his help.
But he was always there. He was always ready. He was always game. Oftentimes, Ricardo would point up to heaven. He's there now. You know, I know that there in heaven, I have a friend in Christ. And I know I have in heaven a friend in Ricardo, but only because he was in Christ. And he was a wonderful brother.
You guys are his family. You know, even before that 2016, before he got out. In 2003, Pastor Brian came and ministered to us. At that time, it was Capital Christian Center. Was the church that was coming out there. And I still remember that message to this day, Christ drinking the dregs for us. It was a touching ministry. It was a touching sermon. And it actually changed the way we ministered out at NSP. That place that Steve talked about, there is was a prison of, well, let's just say that we went through some trials there. But there's one thing that we could always count on. We could always count on Christ and each other. I can remember when Ricardo first came from Ely State Prison. And if anybody knows anything about Ely State Prison, it's not a very nice place at all. And when he came there, he had been ministered to by Big Chuck. And then some of you guys know Chuck. He's been here in the church. He's in Vegas right now. But there they couldn't have church services as like we did at NSP. And so when he got there and I was ministering the word, he used to come up to me all the time and ask questions. And it ended up being a daily thing. He'd come to my cell. We talk about the Bible. I helped him work his way through the Bible, where to go to, find scripture. And then it became a night of prayer. For over 12 years, every night, we met for prayer. Well, every night they didn't have us locked down anyway. But we'd always remember that time. And so the minute the doors were open, we'd come together and we'd start praying. And what I miss most right now is him calling me every night and say, hey, brother, let's pray. Or he'd call and say, I've been a poo-poo head. That's when he either got Joy mad at him or something, you know. So it was a time. But you know what? I want to recognize the people from Grace Community Church that came out and ministered to us. Steve, could you stand up, please? Eric, could you stand up? He came to Warm Springs and ministered to us. Chad, are you here? Chad came also. Big Al came. Al was actually part of the Capital Christian Center, and then he found a ministry of Grace Community Church, and then he became your guys' brother. We had... Oh, Lord, I had them all memorized at one time. Yeah, Pastor Charlie, of course, he came out there and ministered to us, and he's still ministering to us every Friday night. It's a blessing to continue there with Pastor Charlie and Ingrid. We have Pastor Brian, as I said. He come and minister to us. We had Pastor John. You guys remember John? He came out and ministered to us. Paul, he was out there singing to us at the end there before I left NSP. I left NSP about 6 months, I think, before they closed. And Paul, I remember the last songs that Paul was singing when we were there, that old loud, deep voice he's got, as we all know. And then we have Phil, who came every Sunday and played his guitar for us, and it was a blessing. We thank you, Phil. I think that covers everybody there that was coming out and part of the church. But it's been a blessing to be there. But now I want to talk a little bit about Ricardo. Pastor Brian mentioned a little bit about his childhood. Many of you guys don't know, but his father used to beat him senseless, day in and day out. And then you wonder why he led the path he did and ended up in prison in Cuba. But yet he always had a positive attitude no matter what. And then when they brought him to the United States and he kept the lifestyle that he had in Cuba, he ended up in prison in Philadelphia for a few months. They let him out. He came to Nevada and he ended up there for 24 years. But I know the man that was hungry for the word. I know the man that I watched Christ change before my eyes. I know the man that loved Christ. He has another brother that's in the prison right now. His name is Julio. They grew up together in Cuba. They were in prison together in Cuba. They came to Florida and they separated in Florida. And they end up finding themselves at Ely State Prison. And Julio's lifestyle is nothing that you want to write home to mom about, right? But what Ricardo did with his walk with Christ is that he turned the heart of Julio, who that when I left the Nevada State Prison, or when I left, NNCC, Julio took over my position there. And he's still there. He is still recognized as a very powerful man of God in there. And it was because of Ricardo. Because he's seen what God did in Ricardo's life. Because it wasn't superficial. It wasn't superficial. It was who Christ made him. There's one scripture that Ricardo liked, and I like to read it real quick. Like, it's in Psalm 119, starting at verse 14 or 13, I believe it is. Yes, 13. It says, "For you formed my inward parts; you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret and strictly woven into the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." He loved that scripture because he knew that even though the lifestyle that he lived, Christ had always had him in the palm of his hand. Amen. And again, I want to thank all of you for the friendship that you have given him, the brother, the man of sorrow to the man of joy that you guys have given him. Again, I want to thank you all in Jesus' name.
For my dearest brothers and sisters, of our Most High God, thank you. Love you guys. I love how God has knitted us together. And I just first like to say how surprised I was that when I heard Bob call me and told me that our brother had taken a turn for the worse. And I think many of us were surprised at that, hearing that. And then also saddened that Ricardo had to be intubated. A week earlier, Johnny and I were walking up, and Cassie and Eric were there, and they were courteous to let us go to also minister to Ricardo there. And we had a sweet time of fellowship. We talked about fighting the good fight of faith, and Johnny and I were just praying with him and for the family, and knowing how Ricardo fought that good fight of faith. And he loved Jesus like my previous brothers. But I just want to reiterate that he was a precious man of God, and that scripture where, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, with endurance, run the race. And how we run that race is by fixing our eyes upon Christ. Hallelujah. We fix our eyes upon our Redeemer. And so we were talking to Ricardo, and we walked in, and we were kind of teasing Ricardo because his breathing was good. He was really talkative, and I thought, man, we're thinking he's going to be out of here 2 or 3 days. Yeah, man. We're actually saying we're going to kidnap you, take you to Bible study tonight, brother. And Ricardo was like, I'm not quite ready for that, brother. And then just shortly after that, you know, it was, I don't know how you guys felt about visiting him there, but it was surreal putting the 3 masks on and the jumpsuit. And I don't know how you felt, sister. It's like going in the space shuttle. And so I'm putting all that cotton thing and putting my leg in there. And I'm like jumping around like this. And then I couldn't get the zipper up. And the RN was sitting there. And Johnny thought it was really funny. And then the zipper breaks. And so then the registered nurse had to bring me another suit. And then I was trying to get that one on. I finally was walked in there kind of like this. And I already kind of hurt my back previously. So as I was putting on the jumpsuit, my back tightened up. So I walked into the room, and Ricardo was as jovial as could be. He goes, you okay, brother? So I got in front of the bed and laid down on the bed. Talking to him, I go, yeah, you know, my back's kind of, just like Ricardo, he was more concerned about me than him, you know. Brother, you okay, brother? And so, you know, I first met Ricardo in Nevada State Prison in 2001, I believe, Bob. from the very outset, I loved this guy. Upon his arrival there, his demeanor, his congeniality, his love for God was very evident. And he wept in joy before the throne of God. I saw Ricardo during worship services, just he was transparent. He was praising God. He was so thankful for the grace that saved him. And I think Steve, Brian, and then Brian came in with good preaching shortly after that, and he really got in the Word. All of us got in the Word when Brian came in, and Pastor Charlie, and Mr. Skeffer, who's our old assistant pastor. He taught us the Word of God, and there was a core group of men, and it was just a beautiful thing doing ministry. Bob being the leader of that at NSP when Capital Christian was going, and all through Roy, is Roy here? Roy, brother. We have, it's God's church. This is God's church. And he was just joyful knowing the Lord and to the very end. And Ricardo knew that it was only God's message of the gospel that pierced the darkness and that heralded the light of the world, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He well knew, brothers and sisters today, that to know God was to know his Savior. And with that, eternal life. So Ricardo displayed a diligence to learn God's word, to grow in God's word, to grow in the knowledge of God's word. We saw firsthand how Ricardo cared for other people, his accountability with the leadership and being disciplined in the church. We saw that. He never blamed anybody when he was called on something. He always repented. He was fast to repent. He was a personality larger than life to me. It was just attractive. And I loved Ricardo's humility too. He loved the gospel. He loved the brethren. He understood God's sovereign plan for the ages to save a people for himself included. And he was just happy to be in the part of the body. He was happy to be part of the church. He was content. He loved his baby. He loved his wife. He always wanted a family. It was just, as Brian tells us all the time, he was a trophy of God's grace. And I love the man. He knew that by knowing Christ, everything had eternal purpose. Ricardo blessed me so much, and I was grateful to have him as my friend. And he glowed with the love of God. My wife said he oozed with the joy of the Lord, even weeping. We're going to miss Ricardo. I have to go fast here because Pastor sent me little things. Keep it at 5 minutes with a little green alien thing behind it. So I got to... Got to be careful here. And I want to tell you something else that I appreciated about my brother Ricardo. He knew his need of Christ. It's the same for all of us who believe and repent. We need our God. We need forgiveness. We need to be a repenting people. He saves us. God saves us from himself, from hell. He saves us from our ignorance. He saves us from blindness, deception, misery, sin, which so easily entangles us. And we were all in that bondage. I was going to read Psalm 103, but Eric beat me to it. So that's just, we didn't get on the phone and say, hey, what are you reading today? And I was like, that's just kind of how it goes, huh, Brother Eric? So, brothers, sisters, Ricardo walked the walk. He ran the race that was set before him. Shortly after Ricardo came to grace, he disclosed some of his struggles to me. And it was a beautiful praying together, asking for the Lord's intervention. And the Lord answered our prayer, hearing, and our great God blessed Ricardo with his beautiful family. He did not want to be, the temptations came when he got out, and he set his eyes to have a family, and we were so grateful to God what he did. After all those years in prison and in the church fellowship, and then Pastor Brian and preaching the world to us, heralding the words of life to us, and then he gets saved. And we see that with men. I see people in church right now I haven't seen in a long time that were saved in prison. And this reinforces truly that our brother is now with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I just want to conclude. I'd express my love to Ricardo's family and my thanks. I want you to know, Joy, and your son, that we will always be here for you. Amen. And that will never end. And Jesus, as your husband now, and we as the body of Christ, you can count on this church and what you need and your church family. I will miss my brother. I'm going to miss his hugs. I'm going to miss hearing his voice and that special, unique way he called it. You okay, brother? I can't do it. I can't do it justice. Bob, can you do it? I don't know if maybe Pastor Charlie can do it. He'd always say, yeah, brother. I can't do it. I don't know. And I don't even know if it's the Cuban right way to, or if it was Cuba or I don't care. But he's like, yeah, brother. And I want us just this one little thing, lastly, that I'll never forget, our special times together. So I want to give an example of one that I treasure in my heart about Ricardo. And so he and I were eating at this Thai food restaurant. And Ricardo said he had never had Thai food. So I go, man, you got to try Thai food. You know, it's one of my favorite foods. And so our server asked how spicy he wanted his food. And I'm like, what? And he said, one being the mild and five being the most. Zeke, it's good to see you, bro. Five. And he goes, five. I'm like, that stuff's pretty hot. I go, you sure? Are you sure you want five? He said, yeah, five, bro. Five, brother. Okay. So after our food came out, we're sitting there. I think it was at Thai in Carson. This little bottle of hot stuff. And he's just like going like this. Like, he's like five teaspoons of the stuff. I'm like going, I'm like, man, these Cuban boys can eat spicy stuff, baby. I was like, I would be. And so we're about 2 minutes through our conversation. I kind of got sweat stuff and it's kind of sweating up. I'm like, I go, you okay, brother? And he gets a glass full of water. He's like, are you okay? I thought I was going to have to do something, you know? He's like, well, it's hot, brother. It's hot, brother. I was like, yeah, you just put freaking a pound of spices on your Thai food. It's like, you're going to like have a heart cardiac arrest right here. And he's like, and then it's like he just seemingly got better. This is good. I'm good, brother. Good. Like, that condiment must have been so hot. And then I asked the waitress, what is this stuff? And she told me the weird name of the pepper. She goes, it's even spicier right now because it's ripe or something. Or unripe or something. So, I guess then the last thing I'd like to say is, Ricardo was now with our great God. He is within those cloud of witnesses, even now. And I thank God so much that Ricardo, he's with his God in boundless bliss. And we who believe will one day join Ricardo in what Dennis Johnson described as this: the living God, sovereign over every atom in his universe and every nanosecond of its history, is directing the cosmos toward a consummation that will display the majesty, that will display God's majesty, his wisdom, his power, his justice, his mercy for every creature to behold. And everyone is going to bow the knee to King Jesus, and they're going to say, you are the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And now is the time to trust in the Lamb and to trust in Jesus' redeeming blood. I thank you all. Thank you for being such a blessing to Ricardo and our family. And Joy and Weston, we love you.
You know, first of all, I want to thank Steve and Molly and Paul for being there with me when I had to make the decision to let Ricardo go. I couldn't have done it myself. And I asked Paul because Ricardo told me that he loves his voice. And I remembered that at the last second. I was the first one who got COVID, and I knew that most likely Weston and Ricardo would get it too. I wasn't worried about myself or Ricardo, but we were both worried about Weston. My husband rarely got sick, and when he did, it was nothing. He was a strong and healthy man. Ricardo and I prepared for the worst, making sure Weston's oxygen machine was ready, his breathing machines, and a thermometer. We stocked up on Gatorade and chicken broth, knowing that Weston would not want to eat if he got sick. We had tons of disinfectants to clean with, and we did so constantly. COVID got me good. The first 5 days were horrible, and I didn't think I was going to make it. My heartbeat was between 47 and 55 beats a minute. I couldn't breathe. My whole body hurt. Weston only had to have his two normal breathing treatments each day, Tylenol and ibuprofen. After 2 days, Weston was perfectly fine. I had to use Weston's oxygen machine as my oxygen was lower than it should have been. Ricardo was more worried about me and Weston, and I was too sick to realize just how sick he was. He seemed so strong, and he put me and Weston first. When I started feeling better, I took care of Ricardo. I did not know it, but at that point, it was too late. By all rights, he should have gone to the hospital days before. I begged him to go to the hospital, but he said he did not want to leave me and Weston. I tested his oxygen, and it wasn't great. I tried putting him on Weston's oxygen machine, but he didn't want it. He wanted to get out of bed and help me with Weston. Anyone who knows Ricardo knows that he could not just lie around and do nothing. When I finally convinced him to let me take him to urgent care, I had no idea that he would never come home to me again. Being married wasn't easy, but nothing prepared me for the hardest decision I had to make for my husband. On September 29th, I knew the doctor wanted to talk to me about taking Ricardo off the ventilator. Ricardo had died twice around 11 p.m. Bob and I spent 6 hours with him until we were asked to leave. Ricardo knew we were there. He told me, with his eyes, that he loved me and that he knew that I loved him. I did not want to leave him, but I did, and I didn't think, not for a moment, that Ricardo was going to die. I thought he would get better. That night, I had to decide whether Ricardo dies with family or by himself. I wanted to keep him alive for as long as I could, but I only had 2 hours to spend with him. I wanted to stay with him all night and be there with him if he had another cardiac arrest, but I was not allowed to. The doctor said that I could sign a DNR and they would call me when he passed. He was going to pass without being taken off the ventilator due to his organs shutting down. I did not want my husband to die without his family in a cold hospital room. I chose to take the ventilator out, and praise God, Paul Manzano, Steve and Molly, and I were there to send Ricardo off to his Jesus, whom he loved with all of his heart. As we sang to him, Ricardo tried to sing too. He knew it was his time to go. It took 9 minutes from the time his tube was taken out. I thought that Ricardo would keep on breathing, jump out of bed, and say, "Finally, that tube is out of my throat." But the Lord needed him. My heart hurts so bad, and it still does, and I imagine that it always will. But Ricardo's heart is no longer hurting, he isn't in pain, and he isn't tired anymore. He is face to face with our Lord, happier than he's ever been. I will never forget Ricardo. He made me laugh so many times. His Cuban accent was the funniest thing to me. He didn't know what certain things were because he didn't know the English word for it. I had to explain what a skunk was and that a skunk was indeed not a scum. That coyotes were not hyenas, and he did not need his baseball bat to keep the hyenas from attacking him. One day, after he had been working with Brian Forschler at Brian's house, Ricardo came home and told me, Nana, and the refuge ladies how he and Brian built a panty room. Ricardo was very excited. Nana was like, "What? You built what?" Ricardo then began to describe the panty room. I said that I needed to call Brian and ask what exactly they were building over there. And then I burst out laughing. Ricardo had said, "You know, where you put all the food and the extra stuff, a panty rooms." It was just too funny. We were all laughing until we cried, except Ricardo, who stood there looking at us like we were crazy. "I'm going to go take a shower," he said. I don't think any of us could keep a straight face when Ricardo came back out that night. So many times Ricardo made us laugh without even trying. I would get in trouble with Molly for making fun of Ricardo, but he loved it, and it was all in fun. Sometimes when we got a new girl at Refuge, Ricardo would sit down with them, telling them how much Jesus loves them and telling them his life story. Often the girls would approach me and say, "What was he talking about? I couldn't understand what he was saying." I shrugged my shoulders and I said, "I have the same problem." My Cuban husband was quite the guy. Ricardo may have spent most of his life in prison, but in the end, his life was spent as a free man, a man of God, a husband, and the best daddy a boy could have. Amen. I still thank God every day for giving me Ricardo. He brought me on quite the journey. Someday, I will continue my journey in heaven, where I hope to get to see my husband again.
Amen. In the morning when I rise, in the morning, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all.
Now everybody knows why I texted Al and told him 5 minutes. I also have a theory as to why that zipper kept breaking, but I will keep it to myself. Well, at great risk, we're going to have a time of open mic. and so if you would like to share a memory or something like that about Ricardo, there's a microphone right down here, and I am going to ask if you could just, you know, keep it truly to a couple of minutes, make room for others. And so I don't know who would like to go first, but please make your way up to the mic. Johnny, thanks for volunteering.
So I've been in the church now for a couple of years, and that's where I met Ricardo. And I would always go out to Refuge and hang out with Steve and Molly and help with everything around the house. And then I worked a couple times with Ricardo, with Brian, and it was hard working with Ricardo. But it was also fun, and he was just a good brother, and just, you know, going and seeing him in the hospital was a great privilege, and I'll miss Ricardo a lot. And I just also want to say, if any of you would have been there watching Al try to zip up that zipper, you would have been laughing too.
So when I look back on Ricardo's life and hear what Pastor Brian said about his history, the thing that stands out to me is that Christ is the unifier. Christ, his blood and his righteousness unify us and bring us union with God. And his blood and his righteousness bring us unity with each other. And so I ask you, what brings a law enforcement guy, a career law enforcement guy, and a career con together? Christ Jesus does. Amen. And the gospel is so beautiful because it lays the, it just solidifies everything. It says there is none righteous, no, not one. So the playing field just straight. And I'm on it with Ricardo. And guess what? There's a Savior that saves the unrighteous. He saves Ricardo, saves me, and he saves anyone who puts their trust in him.
So I didn't know Ricardo real well, but and I know, I'm sure you experienced things that I didn't experience with Ricardo. But one very interesting thing that I got to enjoy about him was just at the facility here when he was working, not around anybody, but just doing his job, taking care of the facility. And he reminded me of my dad. My dad was an auto mechanic. He was just a humble guy, hard worker. And I saw a lot of that beautiful humility and joy in the work that he did. And it just exemplified Christ. And it was neat to see that. And, so it was just one little part of Ricardo's life that maybe a lot of people hadn't seen, but he'd come in, he'd get to work, he'd be almost singing and just having, he was so into living every bit of his life, and that, I just wanted to share that. It was neat. So.
I just wanted to say to you, Joy, that one time a couple of us were meeting at Esther McCullough's house. We started a little group, us Hispanics, and we were starting to read a book about the gospel, and the book was in Spanish, and we just started talking about our culture and whatnot, and I remember Ricardo talking about his dating experiences, and Esther and I were baffled by his, you know, escapades and, you know, all the things that he had to share. And I just wanted to say to you that I'm so thankful that you were his bride and that you were the answer to our prayers. So he is with his Lord now, but I know the joy that you brought to him and that you were an answer to his prayers, both you and Weston. And so I'll always remember that, and I'll always be thankful that we got to pray for him to that end. Sorry about your loss.
First time I met Ricardo, we had just recently moved back to Nevada, and he had recently gotten out of prison. And I was home with a new baby. I think Gene was the baby. And my dad brought him over for lunch, just popped right in. And, you know, just wonderful way. And I hadn't met him before or anything. And he just came right in and was just so kind. And he held Gene. And he was just talking about how wonderful it was to be out of prison and be having this big family of believers to come into. And just what a blessing, and a new friend recently coming back, having been in Africa and been gone from, you know, this culture, and coming back to Nevada and making new friends again and old friends. And there he was, just a good friend. And then didn't really do too much with him. And then we moved out to Refuge, and there he was again. And what a blessing in my life, for you, who just came from Africa as well and, you know, new to the culture. And he just befriended you, played basketball with him and talked to him about manly things, you know, being here in the U.S. and was just kind and gentle with my kids. And their father being gone a lot, they don't. He was one of the men. Just, he was there for them, and he played with them. He rocked Maddie to sleep many a night. Babysat when I would be working. He'd help Joy. Just such a pleasure. And so humble and always speaking of the Lord, and just a huge blessing in my life. From the first day he walked in with his big old smile into my house with Dad. And so I'm really thankful to have known him, and so thankful that he and Joy got married and got to be at Refuge together. And Joy, he'll really be missed. And I know you miss him even more, and be right there for you. Yeah. So
Ricardo was my dear brother and friend. And I remember our dear brother Mike Shepherd used to have a Monday night recovery group at his house. And I remember we would pray for his friend Rico, for his friend Ricardo, and that he was going to be getting out of prison soon. And then he was out and part of our church. And little did I know that I would be doing life with Ricardo and with my dear best friend Joy. We were family. Ricardo was like an uncle to my daughter. And we did life together at Refuge. It was such a blessing. One thing I remember about Ricardo is he would always say, whatever situation was going on, he would say, "Let us pray." And whomever was near, he would gather us together and say, "Would you like to start? Would you like to start?" And there was always reason to pray. And he loved the Lord. He loved to sing. And I know for a fact that we're going to see him in heaven. And what a reassurance that is. This has been really hard, losing my dear friend. And Joy, I love you with all of my heart. And Weston, Ricardo is missed.
I met Ricardo, I think it was just a couple of days after he got out of prison. Steve brought him to Blind Dog Coffee to see if they would give him a job. And, you know, the owner, they were trying to decide, and they were concerned that he had been in prison. Of course, they asked me. I was like, no problem. It's great. Fine. We'll be fine. But so they hired him, and I was the production manager, so I was Ricardo's boss. And I'll never forget Steve coming in and telling me, "See, Jennifer, you are going to need this brick. This is an invisible brick." Because he is the most stubborn man in the world. So, which, you know, I thought was pretty funny, but actually I did have to use that invisible brick quite a few times in our couple of years of working together. But the one thing that I do know, and he was so stubborn, and so am I, so we had a few go-rounds, but he loved the Lord. I mean, we would have situations of frustration and being under pressure, and he would always say, "Jennifer, let's pray. Jennifer, let's pray." Sometimes I didn't want to pray. I'd be like, "No." And he'd be like, "Yes, let's go." And so we prayed together all of the time, every day. Spoke about, I mean, we're bagging coffee and all that, and we talked about the Lord always. And when he spoke about the Lord, his entire demeanor would change. I mean, people noticed it. People would be in there, and he would minister the gospel. I heard him minister the gospel to people that work there, and I would weep. I've heard the gospel my entire life, and when he gave the gospel, I mean, it made you weep. I wept every time, and he did it often. But the thing that, and I was very close to Ricardo, and he was so delighted because he came there, and I was a sister in Christ. And although times he'd be like, "Sister, I have a confession to make," and a lot of times he'd be like, "I don't know. Do I want to know this? I don't know if I want to know the confession." But he trusted that I would hold it between us and that I would minister. And even after he left Blind Dog, he texted me. We'd text. He would say, what do I do about joy, Jennifer? I mean, I've done this. How do I make it okay? And so, you know, I'd call him up and be like, okay, Ricardo. So we had a continued relationship. And then in April, I went out to work at City of Refuge. So that was a double blessing. But I do know this. He loved the Lord. And he could quote scripture like nobody's business. And I actually understood it when he quote scripture, because when he was talking normally, just in general, I'd be like, what are you talking about? But when he spoke of this scripture, it was so clear. And it didn't matter who was around him. They understood what he was saying when he talked about the Lord. And it was an amazing thing. So it was a little tough for me when we were always very close. And he trusted me a great deal. And I was really blessed by that. He was it blessed me. He doesn't, and some, I feel a little bit, because I could tell him, that he blessed me with that trust as his sister in Christ. And I didn't get a chance to tell him, but he knows. He was a good man. He was a good man. He had his troubles. Again, that brick came out more than once. But I did give it to Joy when they got married. So I was like, here you go, Joy. Anyway, so he was a dear brother to me and a dear friend. And
keep writing, because I can't see. And we were building a pantry, not a panty room. So, I'd like to start with Philippians 2:13-15. Lord, is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. As a Christ follower, it's my desire and yours to be blameless and to shine as light. However, for me, it seems that oftentimes I'm in the murmuring and the disputing camp, especially as I have the privilege of working with our dear brother Ricardo. And I do mean it was a privilege, and by the end you will see why. But first, I'd like to share a reoccurring theme that God did use for his glory and mine and Ricardo's good, though it was tough at the time to work through. I have never had someone work with me that could aggravate me daily and in so many ways. So much so that at times I wondered if he delighted to watch me have a meltdown. But I know that wasn't his intent. As many of you know, I work with granite and tile. And in training Ricardo, I would explain what I needed him to do. And I was explicit in instructing him how to do it. Invariably, and almost on a daily basis, he decided he knew better how it should be done, and he would end up destroying something and costing me a lot of money, which unfortunately would cause me to enter that disputing camp with him. And that night, to the consternation of my wife, the murmuring camp with her. Invariably, and I say this with shame, I would shout at him, and then I'd look at him in disbelief, saying, I can't believe you've done this again. His eyes would grow real big, and he would be looking back at me with that look that said, and I can't believe that I just did that. And then his famous words, please forgive me, brother. Let's pray. The last thing I wanted to do was pray. But then our great Holy Spirit would tell me it's exactly what we both needed. And he would pray first. And he always started with these words. Our most gracious, merciful, and forgiving Father. And I would think, this is a setup. How can I stay mad at him now? But as I listened to my brother's heart, speaking the truth about himself, asking God's forgiveness, and then he would pray that God would bless me. And I was reminded again of the parable that speaks about the evil man that owed his master thousands, and he was forgiven his debt, and then went to a servant and demanded he pay his debt of a few dollars. And he had no mercy when his servant could not pay. I believe this parable speaks more than just of money, but to any offense. And the Lord reminded me that to follow him was to be a man of forgiveness, even if the same offense happened 7 times 70 in the day. And it felt like that with Ricardo. Jesus, in our sanctification, uses the offenses, the sharpness, the stubbornness, and the aggravation of others to show us our true state, the true state of our hearts. And if we are honest, we will agree with the saying, it is not my father, it's not my mother, my brother, or my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That is why I counted it a privilege to have Ricardo by my side in this pilgrim's journey. Sanctification is priceless, and oftentimes our Lord is pleased to use those close to us to help it bring it to pass. I truly miss hearing those beautiful words from Ricardo. Gracious, merciful, forgiving Father. But I look forward to that day. I will stand with Ricardo in the presence of our eternal Prince of Peace and loving Savior Jesus and shout those very words to the glory of God.
So for a little over a year, Ricardo and I taught third and fourth grade Sunday school. And what prompted me to come up here is because when we talked about translation, and first of all, what I wanted to say is to hear him talk about the gospel to the third and fourth was amazing. And it was a joy to spend those few months with him. But oftentimes there were questions on the kids' face because of the sometimes they weren't sure what he was saying. And so he translated for Brian. I would translate back into English so that the kids could understand. So. But I loved my brother and looking forward to seeing him again.
We're going to Sing to Jesus.
I honestly didn't know what text I would choose for this day. I had 100. And so we're going to preach all 100. Even up to last night, just praying and thinking I was going to do this or then I was going to do that. I woke up this morning and I knew the text. I had no reservation, no second thought. And this is the text. We read it to you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 and following. The apostle says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. God has chosen the things that are not so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But of his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Father, we pray that we would be able to boast in you now. Because of everything that Jesus has done for us. Amen. So by the world standards, Ricardo was not wise. He was not mighty. And he was not noble. In fact, according to the world standards, Ricardo was a thing that was not. In fact, if you want a good translation of the things that are not, you could translate it the nothings and the nobodies. By the world's standards, Ricardo was a nothing and a nobody. In 1980, the United States sanctioned economic embargoes against Cuba. And Castro, some of you remember this, in an act of revenge, sent thousands upon thousands, estimated 125,000 criminals from Cuban prisons and thousands upon thousands of mental health patients from mental health facilities, and he sent them to the United States. They put them on boats on a dangerous journey, collected up by the U.S. Coast Guard, and to Castro, those that were sent away from Cuba were useless, unproductive, nothings and nobodies that could be used to punish the United States. To America, these refugees were unwanted because, after all, most of them were common criminals. In fact, this was called the Mariel Exodus because they left from Mariel Bay. 125,000. Of course, crime soared in Miami. Gangs exploded as common criminals were simply making their way in their new country. And Ricardo Alvarez came to the United States during that exile. Not wise, not mighty, not noble. In fact, at the end of the day, a political pawn, an unwanted immigrant, and he would be the first to say, a common criminal. But I want to remind us today of a different perspective. Because as Ricardo ran the streets as an unwanted nobody and nothing, it is the sovereign Lord of all of the earth who from eternity had chosen that nothing and nobody to be his own. God the Father chose Ricardo, a weak thing in this world, a foolish thing in this world, to shame the strong. God set his love and his affection upon Ricardo in eternity past, knowing all that Ricardo would do and all that Ricardo would be. God chose a base thing and a despised thing to nullify the things that are, to actually nullify the things that are valued in this world. God, in his sovereignty, chose Ricardo, not because Ricardo stood out from among the rabble as special, but because he was a part of the rabble, and God chose Ricardo to be a trophy of his redeeming grace. The ways of God are strange. And as is often the case, criminals get caught and get sentenced to prison. And Ricardo went to prison. He was an inmate in America for 24 years. It is stunning to me that the man he grew up with in Cuba, was a criminal with in Cuba, end up at the same prison, Nevada State Prison. And I can tell you that I know beyond all doubt that our dear brother Julio would give his right arm to be here today. And so here's Ricardo, who for 24 years is in institutions which from a worldly perspective contains nothing but the offscouring of the earth. But I would remind us again of a different perspective. God has his plans, and God has his ways, and God has his elect. And in the fullness of time, Ricardo got arrested in a different way. In the fullness of time, God sent forth the Holy Spirit to be the hound of heaven who arrested Ricardo Alvarez, and God brought him to himself, and Ricardo experienced 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ became Ricardo's good shepherd. On that day, in Nevada State Prison, Ricardo gained the good shepherd of his soul. And that good shepherd carried him during every dark day. And that good shepherd forgave every one of his sins. And that good shepherd clothed him in his own righteousness. And even though to the world, Ricardo was a nothing and a nobody, to Jesus Christ, he was precious. And his Lord Jesus saw every tear that he cried, every mournful cry that he uttered. Every hair on Ricardo's head, this actually does not make for a good metaphor with Ricardo. Every hair was numbered. That's not impressive. I could have done that. Ricardo's life was completely in the hands of the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. I just want to tell you, in case you're a little taken back by me saying that Ricardo was a nothing and a nobody in the eyes of the world, I want to just say that Ricardo was never under any delusions about who or what he was. Ricardo never boasted in himself. He only boasted in the Lord. And when Ricardo was released, he became a member of Grace Community Church. And I will tell you that there was nothing else that he wanted more than to actually be here, because as far as he was concerned, he had already been a member of this church for 10 years. Not being wise, strong, or noble. When Ricardo was released, he simply did what he needed to do. I've had counseling sessions with Brian Forsler. Enough said. But he would come to me exasperated. But one thing that I never doubted, is that Ricardo worked as hard as he could. And he was willing to do whatever. Even in his old age, he was working for a moving crew. God graciously, of course, provided him with a wife and a son. And I will tell you that all of us stood in absolute joyful awe that this man who thought he would never get out of prison, let alone have a family, ended up getting a wife and a baby in a day. And he worked hard for his family. Ricardo, we all know, had his faults. But he loved his wife and his son with all of his heart. He worked hard and he never thought that anyone owed him anything. Grace does that to a man. He was humble and he wanted to live his life in obedience to Jesus Christ. And when he failed, it crushed him. It crushed him. I wish to God that I felt half of the conviction for my sins that Ricardo felt for his. Ricardo had his sins, but he had a Savior. His sins were great, but his Savior was greater. That Savior had called him out of darkness into his marvelous light and brought him into a state of grace. And Ricardo loved to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ because he was just simply so grateful that he had been forgiven and redeemed. He loved to boast in the Lord. Now, I do grant that I didn't always know exactly how he was boasting in the Lord, but by the look on his face, I was assured that he was boasting in the Lord. I did use the word skunk in a sermon one night at NSP, and he stopped in his tracks and he looked at me and he said, "What skunk?" Of course, about 15 other Hispanic inmates were all trying to help him with the word, and of course, I don't know that they ever got it right. Actually, in retrospect, that may have been a period where I preached more heresy through Ricardo than I ever had. Three nights before Ricardo died, I asked him if he was afraid, and he said no. He was not afraid to die because he had the Lord's salvation. And I had been holding his hand through that entire time. And as we prayed, I got up to leave. And with his hand in mine, he put his hand on my heart and just, "I love you, brother. I love you. We love you too. I love you too." Ricardo died in faith. You do know that every one of you are going to die. Every single one of you, you will die. I guarantee it. Okay? That's been the statistic. One out of one, you will die. And the scripture says that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For this, what we're doing today, this is the end of every man, and the living need to take it to heart. Are you prepared to actually die in faith? If you do not die in faith, you will in fact be separated from God for all eternity. Ricardo died in faith. He died believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who according to the world's standards was a nothing and a nobody, entered into the presence of the King with angels rejoicing. His father had prepared a place for him, and he had prepared a place that eye had not seen, nor had ear heard, nor had entered into the heart of man. The sovereign Lord, whom angels worship, prepared eternal rest for this nothing and this nobody who loved him. A nothing and a nobody who was washed in the blood of the Lamb and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that nothing and nobody became a child of the great King. The unwanted was wanted by the God of heaven. And he was pursued by the King of glory. And he was a new creation in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And oh, how he blessed us. He blessed us with that smile. He blessed us with his humor. He blessed us with his broken English. He blessed us with his funny faces. But most of all, he blessed us with his love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the body of Christ. And the unwanted became a treasure here. In fact, Ricardo was our very own national treasure. And now he's face to face with his Savior, boasting in the Lord like never before. Probably in Spanish. Here's the beautiful thing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for nothings and nobodies like Ricardo, and nothings and nobodies like me. And nothings and nobodies like you. We have nothing in and of ourselves to boast in. If you can't sit here today and say to yourself, in the sight of God, I'm a nothing and a nobody. I don't have anything that I can hold in my hand and say, look what good thing I've done. The God who calls the nothings and the nobodies like Ricardo and me and so many of you, he calls because he's good. The Savior who saves nothings and nobodies saves because he loves us. What that means is that there's hope for you today. If you don't know the Savior King of the weak and the foolish, I hope that you'll meet him. Trust in him today. Because I repeat, we will all die. And it has been appointed to man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And when Ricardo entered into the presence of the Lord, here are the words that he no doubt heard. No condemnation, Ricardo. You're in Christ Jesus. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would save those who are lost. And Father, we pray that you'd save those who are saved. We pray for all of us, Lord, that we would have the passion and the zeal to live for you and to walk in obedience and love to you like our brother Ricardo did. Father, we do just commit this time to you and pray that you'd be mighty to save in Jesus' name.
Ricardo called me Polly. The only other person that's allowed to call me Polly is my mother. Please stand with me as we declare how worthy the God of Ricardo is. Is he worthy? Let's sing together, please.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Is he worthy?
Amen. The Son of God is worthy of your worship and your trust and your obedience. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, turn to him today and you will find that he is a merciful and a kind Savior who will save you, forgive you of your sins, give you eternal life, and welcome you into his family forever. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip us with every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. There will be a time of reception and refreshment in the foyer.